Now we turn to our Bibles to read some of that old story. We begin in the 42nd chapter of Job, reading the first six verses. Then Job replied to the Lord, "I know that you can do all things. No plan of yours can be thwarted. You asked, 'Who is this that obscures my counsel without knowledge?' Surely I spoke of things I did not understand, things too wonderful for me to know. You said, 'Listen now, and I will speak. I will question you, and you shall answer me.' My ears had heard of you, but now my eyes have seen you. Therefore I despise myself and repent in dust and ashes." Turning to Paul's letter to the Romans, we read in the third chapter, verses 21 to 26. "But now righteousness from God, apart from law, has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. This righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified freely by His grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. God presented Him as a sacrifice of atonement through faith in His blood. He did this to demonstrate His justice, because in His forbearance He had left the sins committed beforehand unpunished. He did it to demonstrate His justice at the present time, so as to be just and the one who justifies those who have faith in Jesus." Turning now to our gospel lesson for this morning, we read from the book of Mark, as we have done for several weeks. Next time is the book of Luke in our next lectionary series. But today we're in the book of Mark, the 10th chapter. We begin at the 46th verse. I invite you to stand, and if you feel so inclined, to read along with me. Mark 10, 46 to 52. "Then they came to Jericho, and as Jesus and His disciples, together with a large crowd, were leaving the city, a blind man, Bartimaeus, that is, the son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside begging. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, 'Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me.' Many rebuked him and told him to be quiet, but he shouted all the more, 'Son of David, have mercy on me.' Jesus stopped and said, 'Call him.' So they called to the blind man, 'Cheer up, on your feet, he's calling you.' Throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and came to Jesus. 'What do you want me to do for you?' Jesus asked him. The blind man said, 'Rabbi, I want to see.' 'Go,' said Jesus, 'your faith has healed you.' Immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus along the road." The Gospel of the Lord. Let us pray. Dear God, we thank and praise your name. We thank you that through Jesus Christ, your broken people can be made whole. We thank you for this day. We thank you for the rain of this week. And now may the words of my mouth and meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. What do you think about when you first wake up in the morning? What?
What day it is.
What day it is, right? Why, what's going to hurt this morning, right? How's that first step going to feel when I get out of bed, right? Yeah. Maybe it's, "Oh, I hate," that song, remember, "Oh, how I hate to get up in the morning." Or, "Wow, I sure have a lot on my plate today. I wonder how I'll get it all done." I've had days like that. Or maybe you wake up praising the Lord for another day. Well, when Bartimaeus woke up in Jericho on what would be a most remarkable day, I wonder if he even imagined, if he had any inkling, that this day would end up being so different from all the other days in his life. I doubt it. He may have had a little feeling, but I doubt that it was a big one like what was going to happen. I think he probably awoke with the same expectations he had for every day. He got up, dressed in the same old worn-out clothes he'd been wearing for a long time, left his makeshift living quarters with his matted hair and unshaven face, and headed as he always did for that place known as Beggar's Row in Jericho. It was on the outskirts of town. Now, he may have stopped briefly along the way to beg a piece of stale bread from one of the shopkeepers that he passed every day. He would hardly be noticed, though, as he trudged along. People probably didn't even pay much attention to him. In fact, as he passed by, they probably averted their eyes from him, not longing to look at him. Beggars were a nuisance. Few thought about what it must be like to be blind, what it must be like to live in complete poverty. In their safe, comfortable worlds, they just couldn't be bothered by this man. They considered him worthless and a drag on society. It is very difficult for the sighted to understand the life of one who is blind, to understand that handicap. Bartimaeus lived a life of surviving on other people's charity. He experienced little joy in his life, little peace. His daily goal was simply to survive. Now, he may have felt this day might be a little different. It was, after all, Passover. And a lot more people would be passing his way as he sat there at Beggar's Row. Maybe they would be a little bit more generous. Their mood would be a little different because it was this special time. Well, into Jericho on that day, and into Bartimaeus' life, came Jesus. As we talked about last week, he's on his final trip to Jerusalem. He's on his way to go and suffer and die on the cross. And we know that wherever Jesus went, huge crowds followed him, wanting to see maybe another miracle from him, or maybe just to hear his words as he preached to them and taught as he went along. Now picture with me, if you will, Bartimaeus, sitting there along the road, begging, when all of a sudden he becomes aware of a rising crescendo of voices, voices that are laughing and yelling, and maybe he even hears the voices of children playing. He knew something or someone had caused this mammoth crowd with all the noise to come into the area. He wanted to know what the ruckus was all about. When he found out that it was Jesus of Nazareth coming his way, he began to shout, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Well, I'm sure his heart began to pound out of his chest. He had heard of this rabbi, this gentle healer, this miracle worker. He may have reassured himself, how can a man do such things unless God is with him? He may have even thought to himself as he heard the stories of Jesus, oh, if only I were in the presence of this man, this rabbi, then he could heal me too. He could not see, but perhaps he had remarkable insight. Helen Keller once said, better to be blind and see with the heart than to have two good eyes and see nothing. This was his chance. Act now or be forever consigned to this world he lived in, this world of blindness. I guess we could call this his make or break moment. When he began to shout, many people in the crowd rebuked him and tried to get him to be quiet. I can just imagine what they said to him. Don't bother the master, you old beggar man. We're on our way to the holy city to celebrate Passover. We don't have time for you. The master has far more important things to do than to fool with you. But Bartimaeus would not be deterred. He cried even louder, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. What irony here. These people following Jesus, even his disciples, had heard him preach to them about the first being last and the last being first. He had taught them over and over about the importance of being the servant of all, And here, when they had a chance to demonstrate in their lives what Jesus had been teaching them all along, they shoo the man away as not being worth their time and effort. By the way, the phrase Bartholomew used to refer to Jesus, that phrase, the Son of David, this is the first time we read that anyone publicly referred to Jesus by that title. Much to the dismay of those with Jesus, he stopped. He stopped. The cry of Bartimaeus in this cacophony of sound that was around him, he had heard the cry of this man. Jesus said, "Call him." Some in the crowd then went over to the blind man and they said, "Cheer up! Get on your feet! The Master is calling you!" Maybe he had heard that phrase before, "Cheer up, have courage." And it came to nothing, but not this time. Can't you just picture him throwing away his jacket, his coat, that old ratty coat he wore every day, jumping to his feet and moving toward that voice that called him? Jesus' words should remind us of what he said to James and John. For interestingly enough, and I had never seen this, never noticed it, the words that he said to Bartimaeus that day were the exact same words that we heard him say to James and John last week. Remember when they wanted to sit, one at his right and one at his left hand, that preferred seating in the kingdom of God. Jesus said to Bartimaeus, as he said to James and John, "What do you want me to do for you?" Now, why would Jesus ask such a question? Such an obvious answer. It had to be the easiest question Bartimaeus ever had to answer in his life. He knew what the blind man wanted. He wanted his sight. But I believe Jesus wanted Bartimaeus to articulate the words of faith, words that acknowledge why the blind man called for Jesus in the first place. He had faith that Jesus would heal him. He answered, "Rabbi, I want to see." Jesus granted his request. "Go," said Jesus, "your faith has healed you." Just think, for Bartimaeus, from total darkness to unimpaired vision. And just think, the very first thing he saw was the face of Jesus. Our text tells us that immediately, and I know, remember back when we started teaching in Mark, that word "immediately" is Mark's favorite word. I called it one time the giddy up gospel because he always said "immediately," spurring on the horse to get going quicker. Immediately, Bartimaeus received his sight. And he followed Jesus along the road. I want to close with a story about Fanny Crosby. When she was only 6 weeks old, she was left blind by an illness. And even though blind for the rest of her life, and she lived to be 95, Fanny was never bitter or complaining. Instead, she made the most of her life by using the other gifts that God gave her. She had a wonderful ability to write poetry, and in her lifetime wrote over 8,000 poems. Many of them have been set to music and are sung as hymns today. We've got 16 of them in our hymnal. Some very familiar to you, I'm sure. You can tell Dean, right? One of the songs that she wrote was "Praise Him, Praise Him." That's Dean's favorite song. She wrote "To God Be the Glory," which we're going to sing at the end of our service today. She wrote, "Tell me the story of Jesus, rescue the perishing, pass me not, O gentle Savior," and many, many more. One day a well-meaning minister said to Fanny, "I think it's a shame, a great pity, that the Master did not give you sight when he showered so many gifts on you." "Oh no," Fanny replied, "if I could have only one request, it would be to be born blind." Why? Asked the surprised minister. Because, answered Fanny, when I get to heaven, the first face that these blind eyes will ever see, just like with Bartimaeus, is the face of Jesus, my Savior. Some, like Bartimaeus, receive the gift of sight. Others, like Fanny Crosby, are blind their entire life. But one thing is certain. When you and I get to heaven, we will all see Jesus. Amen. Today is Reformation Sunday, and I want to say something about that, as I usually do on this day. Do you know it was 498 years ago? 498 years ago that Martin Luther posted his 95 theses to the door of the Castle Church in Wittenberg. 498 years. The theses were originally written in Latin. They were intended to be a part of a scholarly debate about the local sale of indulgences. But it was not long before they were translated into German, and thanks to the printing press of Mr. Gutenberg, they were disseminated widely throughout Saxony and eventually to all of Europe. The rest of the story, as they say, is Reformation history. Now, 4 years later in 1521, Martin Luther was summoned to the Diet of Worms. I think a lot of people, when they see that, wonder, what are they doing eating worms? But anyway, Worms was the name of a place, okay? And the Diet was a meeting, a group of people coming together to meet. He was brought there to stand trial for his assault on the Roman Catholic teachings and on papal authority. It was here that he would make a bold defense for the gospel truth. His famous words, uttered on April the 18th, 1521, were filled with courage and conviction. You know them well. Here I stand. I can do no other. Yet one day earlier, his faith nearly failed him as he considered the powerful men who opposed him and the sobering reality that he would likely be condemned to death. In the midst of this consternation, Luther cried out to God for strength and for help. And I want to share with you this morning part of the prayer that he offered up that night as he prayed to God for strength. It's amazing how it fits in with today. Here is part of Luther's prayer. Almighty eternal God, how dreadful is the world. Behold how its mouth opens to swallow me up, and how small is my faith in you. Oh, the weakness of the flesh and the power of Satan. If I am to depend upon any strength from this world, all is lost. Oh, my God, help me against all the wisdom of this world. Do this, I beg you. The work is not mine, but yours. I have no business here. You have chosen me for this work. I know it. Therefore, O God, accomplish your own will. Stand by me in the name of Jesus Christ, who will be my shelter and my shield, yes, my mighty fortress, through the midst and strengthening of the Holy Spirit. I am ready, even to lay down my life for this cause, patient as a little lamb, for the cause is holy. It is your own. Though this world be filled with devils, and though my body, originally the work and creation of your hands, go to destruction in this cause, yet, though it be shattered into pieces, your word and your spirit, they are good to me still. It concerns only the body. The soul is yours. It belongs to you and will also remain with you forever. God help me. Amen.